Hi there, my Israelite brothers and sisters. Welcome to Brother Hebert Presents. This is part 6 of The Gospel Never Told. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. The Gospel Never Told can be found on the main menu. In Matthew chapter 14, Herod has John beheaded. Jesus heals more of the sick and feeds the 5,000. Jesus walks on water and saves Peter from drowning. In chapter 15, the Jewish Pharisees ask Jesus why his disciples transgress the traditions of the elders. Jesus asks them, why do they transgress the commandment of God by their traditions? And he calls them hypocrites. Jesus teaches his disciples what defiles a man. The churches teach that these verses say it's okay to eat pork and other unclean animals. But the context is established in verse 20, which is eating with unwashed hands. The food laws were not done away with. The world's vacuum and garbage disposing animals are still unclean, highly toxic garbage disposers. If the churches would read their Bibles, they would see that those verses in Acts are speaking about men. Which men were unclean? The lost and scattered Israelites. Jesus explains that every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. So Yahweh must not have planted some people and things that are here, such as the seed of the serpent and those races that are mixed with the serpent seed. This was a jab at the Jewish Pharisees, which were not his people, because they were born of fornication, and who were teaching their own laws, regulations, and traditions to the people. Then we see the Canaanite woman who was ignored by Jesus Christ. Why? Doesn't Jesus love everybody? Matthew 15:24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But the churches teach that he came for everybody in the world. Matthew 15:25. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Master, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Who are the children? The children of Jacob Israel, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who are the dogs? Not the children of Israel. Dog is symbolic of peoples outside the race of Adam. Dogs are also synonymous with beasts, fowls, and swine, which in Scripture are all references to the other races. Verse 27, And she said, Truth, Master, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith. "Be it unto you even as you will." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. That the woman was not an Israelite is obvious, and there were some Canaanites that did not have the serpent blood of Cain in them. And this woman was not granted eternal life either. She was simply blessed for blessing the seed of Abraham. Nevertheless, Christ Yeshua himself stated 4 times exclusively who he came for. This woman was a supplicant who recognized both his kingship and his purpose and had agreed with him fully of his labeling her a dog while prostrating herself at his feet. We will cover this more in detail in the same account in Mark. Jesus then feeds the 4,000. In chapter 16, the Jewish Pharisees continue their arguments and attacks on Jesus. Notice that Jesus did not ever try to convert the Jews. He gave them a chance to repent and do good, as Yahweh gave Cain a chance to repent and do good. And even Satan was given a chance to see if he would show mercy to Job. But Yahweh knew that these devils cannot do good, because there is no good in them, as explained in John chapters 5 and 8 and other places in Scripture. Jesus warns his disciples of the leaven of the Jewish Pharisees and their doctrine. Jesus explains to his disciples that he will suffer many things of the Jews, be killed, and be raised again on the third day. Then we see the section on the cross and self-denial. Matthew 16:24. Then said Yeshua Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life in this world shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Adam shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." But the churches teach that all you have to do is just believe, and that you don't need works because you're already saved. There are many verses which show how ignorant the churches are. Let's look at some of the references for Matthew 16:27. Psalm 62:12, where every man is rendered according to his works. Proverbs 24:12, ignorance is no excuse. You will be judged for your lack of works. Romans 2:6, righteous judgment of God renders every man according to his deeds. 2 Corinthians 5:10, all will appear at the judgment seat and receive according to the good or bad he has done. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, called by Christ to be a proprietor unto good works. Titus 2:7-14, showing yourself as a pattern of good works and zealous of good works. James 2:14-24, by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. Revelation 22:12, every man will be given according to his works. Jesus is explaining in Matthew 16:24-27 that if you love this world and this social system, and you seek personal salvation and rapture tickets to save your life, you shall lose it. By teaching contrary to Scripture that works are not necessary, You are hindering the building of the kingdom. You are reigning with Satan because he wants you to sit in your own pew and just believe in a Jewish Jesus and remain ignorant by eating the same shallow Happy Meal messages the pulpit pimp has been programmed to repeat over and over. If you put out of the way your attachment, desire, and trust in the things the churches are poisoning your mind with, and come up out of this world and social system and seek the kingdom, you shall find life. How do you receive your reward? As Jesus himself said in verse 27, according to your works, which proves your faith. In chapter 17, Jesus explains the spirit of Elijah to his disciples. Matthew 17:10, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And Yeshua answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Sirach 48:10, Elijah, who was ordained for reproofs in their times to pacify the wrath of Yahweh's judgment before it break forth into fury and to turn the heart of the Father unto the Son and to restore the tribes of Jacob. Restore who? The tribes of Jacob. Isaiah 57:15, for thus says the High and Lofty One that inhabits eternity, whose name is Set Apart.
I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones.
Contrite is H1792, Dhaka, and means bruised and crushed. Who are the bruised and crushed ones? Psalm 94:5 and 143:3, Israelites. Isaiah 3:15, Israelites. 53:5 and 10, speaking of Jesus Christ being bruised for the iniquities of the children of Israel. Notice that Yahweh God dwells with him who is contrite and revived in spirit. This is something that happens when you become a true Christian in mind, heart, belief, and deed. It's the condition of the reign of the kingdom. It has come upon you. The kingdom is not something somewhere physical. It's a state of mind. When you are not in the proper Christian state of mind and being, then you are under some other kingship. Malachi 4:6.
And he,
the spirit of Elijah,
shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
Who is Yahweh God speaking to? Malachi. Who is this concerning? Israelites. Matthew 17:12. But I say unto you, that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Adam suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Matthew 11:4. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. That is, John came in the spirit of Elijah. This indicates that John resembled Elijah in doing a similar work of revealing the true God through preaching repentance and the certainty of things contained in the Scriptures regarding the Christ, declaring the way of God, which in order to go in that way, your paths must be straight, and this is made by following his commandments. Elijah and John did not teach to just believe. They preached repentance and returning to the way of obedience. The prophet came along and exhorted the people by awakening them to their sins, making them feel guilty about their relationship with God and each other. He awakens them to their spiritual and moral responsibilities. These Israelites and those in the churches are lethargic in terms of true spiritual matters. John brought the urgent message of the kingdom of God and the need to repent, to turn from sin, and change one's entire attitude and way of life. The repentance must be real, and to show that the repentant person had to bear fruits worthy of repentance. Just believing and declaring that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, who died, was buried, and rose the third day, is not fruits. That's not the gospel. It is true and factual, but it's not the meat of the message. Meat symbolizes the inner mysteries or deep teachings of the Word. These profound meanings are discovered by diligently chewing them in prayerful consideration, study, and digesting the truth. Milk typifies the first principles of instruction for the children who have no teeth to chew. Hence, those unskilled in the Word cannot eat its meat, although they are well able to drink in the basics of God's Word. The churches teach just the milk, but it's not even natural milk. It's pasteurized. They don't have true understanding because they haven't been called out yet. They are homogenized in the churches because they are formed by the blending of unlike elements of denominational beliefs. The true beliefs are reduced to particles and dispersed throughout another doctrine. Their gospel is pasteurized and sterilized, rendering their understanding into milk with no nutrients. The result is no growth. They don't know who they are or whose they are. They don't know any scriptural history or the real reason Jesus died. They don't know anything about the gospel. But the good news is that they can learn in this presentation the gospel never told. In chapter 18, Jesus explains how to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:1. At the same time came the disciples unto Yeshua Christ, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Or rather, "Who is the greatest in the reign of heaven?" And Yeshua called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted, and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven," or rather, "you shall not enter into the reign of the heavens." Little child denotes one inexperienced or unlearned. Children have no egos and no agendas. They have clean minds and consciences, unspoiled by the ways of the world or of the society. Verse 4, Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven, or rather, the same is greatest in the reign of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. So what is humble? H6031, anah, a verb, is to be occupied, be busied with. Busy with what? Being humbled, bowing oneself down. Down to what? God's commandments. We see this in Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 16. H3665, kana, means to bend the knee, humble thyself, subject thyself. To what? God and his ways. We see this in 2 Chronicles 7:14 and 34:27. H6035, anav, is a noun and means the humble, the afflicted, the poor and needy. We see this in Psalm 9:12, 10:12 and 17, 69:32. H8217, shafal, an adjective, meaning the condition of being humble. We see this in Proverbs 29:23, Isaiah 57:15, and the verb form of H8213, shafel, meaning to become humbled, in Jeremiah 13:18. G5011, tapinos, is an adjective, humble as a condition. We see this in James 4:6 and 10 and 1 Peter 5:5. G5013, tapinoo, is the verb form, meaning to humble thyself. We see this in 1 Peter 5:6. In all these examples, we see that the Father will accept us when we are humble as a child. It's the condition of being humble, and it's the action of humbling ourselves. Believing you are humble is not the same as being humble. Claiming yourself as being saved is not being humble. Remember Matthew 16:25? For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. In Matthew 18, verse 5, receive is G1209, dekomahi, and means to take upon one's self, sustain, bear, endure, to bring up or educate, teach, instruct. What Jesus is saying is that if you educate one who is unlearned in his name, then the kingdom is upon you. Meaning, as if Christ Jesus was personally present and received. This is how the kingdom gets built. If you just tell people all they have to do is believe Jesus is the Son of God, what does that accomplish? It's no different than giving someone a 1,000-piece puzzle or something that needs to be assembled without a picture and without instructions, and saying, "This is a beautiful picture or product," yet they still don't know what it is, what it looks like, or what it can do. We also see here in chapter 18 who he came for, Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Adam is come to save that which was lost. Lost, in the Greek, is G622, apolumi, which means put away in punishment, exiled, separated. When Yahweh divorced Israel because of their disobedience, beginning in 745 BC, they were separated from his presence and blessings. They wanted man-kings, idols, and little g-gods, and had religious and international fornication with the pagan nations and the other races. They wanted to do their own desires and not Yahweh God's. They broke the marriage covenant with him. They didn't listen to the warnings of the prophets. So Yahweh performed the word which he spoke against them and cast them off. But he did not forget about them, so he promised them reconciliation, which came through the sacrifice of his Son Jesus, Yeshua Christ. The church, Gentiles, Jews, and other races were not included in this covenant, marriage, and the giving of the law. So they couldn't be breaking the covenant and law, and they were not divorced and punished and cast away. So it's not the church, Gentiles, Jews, and other races that were lost. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that Yahweh God did any of these things with, to, or for anyone other than with Israelites. We see the parable of the unforgiving servant next, Matthew 18:23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven, or rather, therefore the reign of the heaven is likened unto a certain king which would settle accounts of his servants. The king was forgiving the debts of those who humbled themselves to him and asked for patience to pay the debt. But one of the forgiven servants went out and did not forgive a fellow servant who owed him a debt, and so he cast him into prison. So when the king found out that this servant did not forgive his fellow servant, the king was angry and delivered him to the tormentors and reinstated the debt. Verse 35, So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. In chapter 19, the Jewish Pharisees tempt him again. A rich man with great possessions asks, What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Matthew 19:17. And he said unto him, Why callest you me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. Why don't the churches teach what Jesus said? Because they don't believe his doctrine. They believe their church's doctrine. People love their possessions more than him. They love that they think they are saved already and under grace, instead of loving and following the commandments. Jesus goes on to say that those that care more about personal salvation and the things in this world shall be last, and those that care more about the kingdom and forsake the things in this world shall be first. Jesus never taught personal salvation. He taught about the kingdom. Matthew 6:33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But believing in him alone does not make you his righteousness. Righteousness is G 1343, Dikaiosune, and means equity of character or act, specifically Christian justification. In a broad sense, the state of him who is as he ought to be, righteousness, the condition acceptable to God. The doctrine concerning the way in which we may attain a state approved of by God, integrity, virtue, correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. This is what it means to have the condition of the kingdom or the reign of God upon you. We don't get or receive righteousness, especially not by just believing or by accepting what Jesus did for us. We get this by being righteous. But we have to know what is righteous and do that which is righteous. This is done by understanding Scripture correctly, knowing and keeping the commandments, and our works prove our righteousness. We become profitable servants when we partake in the proclaiming and building of the kingdom, not by declaring we are saved and agreeing that Jesus is the Son of God. The devils believe, so are they become his righteousness too? The churches support the doctrine of regeneration, which is the believer's standing, which means that a person who believes in Jesus Christ is legally justified before God. God looks at that person as right with him, not on the basis of their virtue, but on the basis of what Jesus Christ did for them. They believe that by accepting and believing that Jesus is the Son of God who died for them, they are now justified and made righteous without even doing anything. This is a doctrine of devils. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus tells the parable of the vineyard. Matthew 20 verse 1, "For the kingdom of heaven, or rather, for the reign of heaven, is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out at about 9 a.m. and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out at noon and at 3 p.m. and did likewise. And about 5 p.m. he went out, and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand you here all the day idle? They said unto him, Because no man has hired us. He said unto them, Go you also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, that shall you receive. So when the evening was come, the master of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired at 5 p.m, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and you made them equal unto us, which has borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, and said, Friend, I did you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a penny? Take yours, and go your way. I will give unto the last, even as unto you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is your eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. The vineyard is symbolic of the children of Israel. The laborers are symbolic of those who share or teach the word. This parable teaches us that when we are given knowledge, or hired, by the Father to work in his vineyard, meaning to teach others the same knowledge, it does not matter if you were called in the third hour, sixth, ninth, or 11th hour. We should not despise our brethren who awaken, or are hired, in the last hour. If we each do our duty to build the kingdom, we each receive a penny, our wage, eternal life. Revelation 6:6, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that you hurt not the oil and the wine. Barley is symbolic of the word of God. Oil is symbolic of the word of God and or riches. The oil also represents Messiah. Wine is symbolic of spirit, the quality of worship. Hurt not the purpose of the Messiah and the quality of our worship of him. So what does this all mean? Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the portion and degree of the maturity of the fulfilling of the anointed people. Knowing that Jesus is the Son of God is not knowledge. Knowledge is the state or fact of knowing. Knowledge is familiarity, awareness, or understanding gained through experience or study. Knowledge is the sum or range of what has been perceived, discovered, or learned. When people say,
get to know Christ,
or all you have to do is
know that Jesus is the Son of God and you are saved,
what does that mean? It really means nothing if you don't know him past those facts. Your range is narrow and shallow. It's easy to recite facts and then act like you know him. What exactly do you know now? Besides the fact that he is the Son of God, died, was buried, and rose on the third day. Some people will add that Jesus was Jewish and loves everybody. But both of those statements are not true. So what exactly do they know about Jesus? Absolutely nothing. They know about the Jewish Jesus of the churches, but they know nothing about the Jesus of Scripture. Just like they know the gospel of the churches, which is personal salvation, but they know nothing about the gospel of the Scriptures. This presentation is explaining and showing you the gospel never told, and the Jesus you never knew. I pray you are beginning to see the difference. You will, by the end, if you put aside your preconceived notions and continue examining the evidence. In Matthew chapter 21, we see the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9 fulfilled. Matthew 21:5, "Tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes unto you, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." Zechariah 9:9,
"Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes unto you. He is just, and having deliverance, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass."
Isaiah 62:11, "Behold, Yahweh has proclaimed unto the end of the world,
say you to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the set apart people, the redeemed of Yahweh. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken."
Who was sought out? Israelites. Ezekiel 34:11, "For thus says Yahweh God,
behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day."
What city is not forsaken? Jerusalem? No. This is symbolic of the New Jerusalem, which is a reference to the people, Israelites. The New Jerusalem typifies the reign of God. We are the New Jerusalem. Who or what is the daughter of Zion? Zion is an allegory for latter-day Israelites. It's not referring to a place. It is symbolic of the children of Israel in the end time. It is the latter-day Zion which Christ will bring out of symbolic Babylon and to whom his kingdom will come. Again, the kingdom is a condition. When you are called out and given understanding, you are being called out of the Babylonian system and the churches and the programming or brainwashing of it. You then see the system for what it is: evil, satanic, unrighteous, an abomination, a reign under the kingship of the devil and his children. Some examples of being awakened to that wicked condition is realizing that TV, Hollywood, the media, the school system, medical industry, and governments, and the churches are part of that system. Holy means set apart. If you are reigning in and with the system, then you are not set apart from it. You are lost in it. These prophecies in Zechariah and Isaiah are not about salvation to the world. The context is still and always the children of Israel. Isaiah 54:7,
"For a small moment have I forsaken you, but with great mercies will I gather you. In a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you, says Yahweh, your Redeemer."
Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Adam is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jeremiah 50:6,
"My people have been lost sheep."
Ezekiel 34:16,
"I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick."
who was lost, driven away, broken, and afflicted. Matthew 15:24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You won't find any prophecies or verses which state that Jesus came for the church, Gentiles, Jews, or the other races, because there are none. The scriptures do not teach that. The churches do. We see the parable of the man with two sons. Jesus is speaking to the Jewish Pharisees who were questioning his authority. Jesus did not try to convert the Jews. He was speaking for the benefit of his Israelite kinsmen while exposing the Jews. As Jesus proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, he pointed out to his Israelite kinsmen that they had enemies, who they were, and how they would act. 55% of the Gospels are taken up with exposing the enemy. Matthew 21:28. But what think you? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said unto him, The first. Yeshua said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the tax collectors and the whores go into the kingdom of God before you. The lesson is that tax collectors and whores can repent and change their ways. This also shows that the Judeo churches are like the second son, which honors the Father with their mouths, but do not do his will. And the parable of the wicked tenants, Matthew 21:33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and hedged it round about, and digged a winepress in it, and built a watchtower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. This is speaking of the prophets. Verse 37, But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. Jesus was speaking of himself. Verse 40. When the master, therefore, of the vineyard comes, what will he do unto those husbandmen? In this context, the husbandmen were the Jews, which had taken over the Levitical priesthood, and were posing as God's priesthood. Verse 41. They, the Jewish scribes and Pharisees, said unto him, He will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will lease out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit in their seasons. The Jewish priests were talking about themselves and didn't even know it. Verse 42. Yeshua Christ said unto them, Did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is Yahweh's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Isaiah 28:16, Therefore thus says Yahweh God,
Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not be ashamed.
Matthew 21:43. Therefore I say unto you, Jews, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. The nation bringing forth fruits is the nation of Israel, the sons of Jacob. The only race to bring the gospel to our people all over the world. The Jews have zero fruits to show for. The Jews rejected the gospel, and the kingdom and reign was taken from them because of their contempt of it and opposition to it and unfruitfulness under it. And it was given to his people who spread it. Did the Jews ever spread the gospel? No, white people did. When we are bringing forth the fruits of the gospel, we are reigning in the kingship of God. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is still speaking to the Jews. The parable of the wedding banquet. Matthew 22:1. And Yeshua Christ answered, and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven, or rather, the reign of heaven, is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them which were invited to the wedding, and they would not come. The servants would be the prophets and disciples. Those invited would be the children of Israel. Verse 4. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are invited, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But those invited made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. These were the Israelites that were like the seed received by the wayside, who were of those who cared more about their worldly life and possessions. Verse 6, And the rest took the king's servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. These Israelites were the murderers and traitors, similar to those spoken of in Acts chapter 7 and 2 Timothy chapter 3, lovers of their own selves, and reprobate concerning the faith, and so persecutors of those with the faith. Verse 7, But when the king heard, he was wroth, and sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were invited were not worthy. Because they rejected the truth, the word, the commandments, and the kingship. Verse 9, Go you therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, invite to the marriage. The highways are symbolic of following the elevated path of Christ. Since Christ is the way and the word, the highway is to follow his word. Note, the disciples were not told to go into the streets, but only to those on the path of Christ's word. Streets are symbolic of the way of the world. Street symbolizes the practices, customs, and general behavior of the world system. Verse 10, So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Bad is G4190, poneros, and means full of labors, hardships, sinners. Good is G18, agathos, and means upright. Verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. The wedding garment is symbolic of righteousness and salvation, for righteousness generates salvation, just as unrighteousness brings judgment. In ancient times, it was the custom for those attending a wedding to be furnished a suitable garment by the groom. Verse 12, And he said unto him, Friend, how did you come in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. The man who came to the wedding and did not put on the garment of righteousness furnished by Jesus Christ was cast out for his refusal. Verse 13, Then said the king to his servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because he had no faith, and he had the wrong belief. He was an unprofitable servant. He came in the condition he learned from the churches, and wearing worldly street clothes. He probably tried to get in the wedding with rapture tickets. Verse 14, For many are called, but few are chosen. 2 Esdras 8:1,
And he answered me and said,
The Most High made this world for the sake of many, but the world to come for the sake of few. But I tell you a parable, Ezra, just as when you ask the earth, it will tell you that it provides very much clay from which earthenware is made, but only a little dust from which gold comes. So is the course of the present world. Many have been created, but few shall be saved. Revelation 3:18, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you mayest see.